Welcome to the introductory notes for Prima Facie, presented by the State Theatre Company of South Australia. Synopsis. Prima Facie by Susie Miller is a play for one female actor set in the world of the law. Tessa, played by Carolyn Craig, is a defence barrister at the top of her game, albeit one who regularly defends men charged with sexual assault. Tessa is a gladiatorial master of emotions, certain in the righteousness of the legal system and her place in it, but her belief in law and justice is about to be totally shattered. The play has gripped audiences all over Australia in a Griffin Theatre Company production directed by Lee Lewis and starring Sheridan Harbridge, last seen here in State Theatre Company's Rumpelstiltskin. It played to universal acclaim on the West End, where it won Best Play and Best Actor for star Jodie Comer at the Oliviers, and that production recently opened on Broadway to rave reviews and a Tony nomination for Comer. South Australia gets its very own unique production. Acclaimed director David Milor, most recently at the helm of Glengarry Glen Ross, directs Carolyn Craig, familiar to state audiences from Eureka Day, in the SA-made SA premiere production. Your audio describers are myself, Charlie Sanders, and Jules Filke. Set description. The production has a simple paired-back design. The Space Theatre is configured to create a corner stage, with audience seating bordering two sides of a square playing space. Long, sheer black drapes hang along the other two sides, the back walls, with a wide void behind them. The curtains almost meet in a V at the centre back, the furthest away visible point, but at that point are slightly parted to create an elegant, slim entranceway, about a metre wide, a little thinner than a standard doorway but much taller, open all the way to the ceiling. The curtains hang in a neat, rippling wave fold, fall completely to the floor, and pool there very slightly. The curtains and rear wall create an L-shaped corridor behind that extends all the way from far right past the back corner of the space to far left. The drapes appear to be plain black, but have in fact been art finished with light-sensitive paint, such that under certain lighting conditions, they have a streaky textural print of dark grey streaks on the black, evoking mud spatters or pelting rain. In addition, while the curtains appear to be dense and heavy, they are in fact made of a material that is sheer when lit from behind, meaning that at moments we can see beyond the curtains, including seeing the actor in the corridor. The floor is of greyish-blonde wooden boards in rectangular sections that vary slightly in colour, so that in some lights it looks like traditional longboards and in others like large parquetry tiles. A functional but elegant chair with black tubular steel legs and a slightly curved wooden seat and backrest is situated a few paces in front of the corner break in the curtains, almost dead centre but a little further back. Lighting and sound are integral to this production, instantly transporting us to different settings and creating moods that reveal and enhance Tessa's emotional journey. Key areas for the work brought forward by lighting and sound include the university, the space bright and open, flooded with warm white light, sounds of a busy public space and muffled voices in the distance, a nightclub, spirals in iridescent coloured lights spin on the floor and walls, and a throbbing bassline fills the space. Tessa's office at night, where dim bluish light hits the right side curtain and an area of floor adjacent as if through an open Venetian blind. In a taxi, when Tessa sits on a chair as if in the taxi, a white square of light from overhead with soft bleed at the edges forms a tight pool of light enclosing her. Tessa's balcony, where bright yellow sunlight hits the centre section of the floor and Tessa in it, as if shining down from the back through a window with smallish square panes. Tessa's home at night. During this scene, the space is drenched in blue light throughout, and a white square of light follows and precedes Tessa through the space. Often she is in the white square, but not always. Late in this scene, after a major change in Tessa's emotional state, the space is very dark. The muddy, spattered print on the curtains is at its most forceful, and Tessa is held in a tiny square of white light. Throughout the production, a motif of rhomboids and squares of light on the floor, thrown into shards from unconventionally positioned and moving sources, creates mood and a sense of something shattered. There is a near-total blackout between Part 1 and Part 2. A piece for piano plays throughout it, and the only light is from behind the curtains, meaning we are able to see through them. This is the only time Tessa goes behind the curtains. The character and costumes. Carolyn Craig plays Tessa. She is a slim woman with blonde hair. She begins the production wearing a sophisticated black skirt suit consisting of knee-length pencil skirt and immaculately fitted black jacket. The outfit is completed with a white shirt and black high-heeled shoes with a chunky heel. At a number of points during Part 1, she adds to this her barrister's garb, black robes which drape past her knee, a white shirt front with collar and bands, and a peruke, the traditional horsehair wig worn by barristers, which is dyed a greyish blonde, sits in rolled curls on the top and sides, and has a curled ponytail that hangs to the nape of the neck. During Part 1, she carries a large, squarish leather satchel, which she refers to as her barrister's bag. The barrister's garb emerges from and returns to the bag. In Part 2, she wears a different jacket, light grey and of a slightly less formal cut. She carries a different bag too, a more traditionally feminine handbag, smaller than the satchel, about 30 centimetres long and half as high. It is black and mostly made of canvas with leather edgings and handles. The cast and creative team are playwright Susie Miller, director David Milor, set and costume designer Catherine Sproul, lighting designer Nick Mollison, composer Quincy Grant, sound designer Andrew Howard, assistant director Connor Reedy, production manager Gavin Norris, stage manager Laura Palambella, assistant stage manager Carmel Palmer. Tessa is played by Carolyn Craig and is understudied by Annabelle Matheson. Event details and access information. The audio described performance is at 1 p.m. on Saturday, the 6th of May, 2023, with pre-show descriptions from 12:30 p.m. The event location is the Space Theatre at the Adelaide Festival Centre. Tickets are through Ticketek. The production takes place in the Space Theatre at the Adelaide Festival Centre. Please contact the Adelaide Festival Centre on 131 246 for details on current COVID requirements and the best access routes to the theatre complex. At the theatre, access is through the Dunstan Playhouse foyer via the Riverbank Concourse. The Space Theatre is wheelchair accessible and guide dog friendly, and there are two accessible toilets in the venue, one opposite the bar in the Space Foyer, the other opposite the main reception desk near door one of the Dunstan Playhouse. Assistance is offered by venue staff. For all other disability access inquiries, please contact Patron Services on email access@adelaidefestivalcentre.com.au or call 08 8216 8600. For more information on audio described performances, please contact Access to Arts using the email address audio.describer@access2arts.org.au or voice or text on 0415 090 547 or speak to one of the audio describers in the theatre. This completes the audio description pre-show notes for Prima Facie. These notes were produced by myself, Charlie Sanders, and Jules Filker.